It's like the clock behind Anna has reached 9 o'clock, so let me call to order the September 12th meeting of the appropriative pool. Peter, are there any agenda additions or reorders this morning?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the pool. Welcome back after our August recess. There are no additions or needs to reorder the agenda.
All right, thank you. Any member requests for agenda additions or reorders? If not, the next item is the consent calendar. I'd be happy to entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Jim Hills moves approval.
Dan Waters, second.
Okay, well, first and second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Business item 2A. Mr. Kouvounis.
Mr. Chairman, business item 2A relates to the revision of the prior assessment packages pursuant to court orders. As you well know, Frank from our staff has been working to revise the assessment packages, and he's here to give you a short presentation. The subject has been workshopped enough to where we think a short presentation is appropriate. However, we're happy to entertain questions and discussion for as long as necessary.
Good morning. Right. So the past several months, Watermaster went through a process of revising the last five assessments, starting with the 14-15 all the way through the 18-19 assessment package. So the reasons for the revisions is due to two court orders. The first one from April 28, 2017, which lowered the total annual operating safe field by 5,000 acre feet, and it reprioritizes land use conversion in the calculating of the ag pool safe field reallocation, both to begin with the 2015-16 assessment package. The second court order from March 15, 2019, directed Watermaster to implement the parties' agreed upon procedures regarding the desalt replenishment obligation beginning with the 2014-15 assessment package and the ag pool safe field reallocation method beginning with the 2015-16 assessment package. The effects of the court order is illustrated in this table. The first four assessment packages have not been affected by the court order, but beginning with the 2014-15 assessment package, we start assessing for desaltory replenishment obligation. Then beginning with the 2015-16 assessment package, we start implementing the new operating safe field at 49,834 acre feet per year. We also start using the new land use conversion priority. It went from having equal priority with early transfer to having first priority ahead of early transfer after the safe field reduction backfill. Under the 2018-19 assessment package, you see the operating safe field drops by another 5,000 acre feet. This is due to the allowed overdraft from the 1978 judgment being exhausted. So a little history of the revision process itself. Immediately following the March 15, 2019 court order, we began revising the five assessment packages. We met with the six parties to the appeal to review and verify the court-ordered changes. In April 2019, we developed a procedure where we reached out to the parties to see how they would like to satisfy their share of desalt replenishment obligation. In May, we completed the first two assessment packages, the revised assessment packages, the 14-15 and the 15-16. Subsequently, we held a workshop in June. Following the workshop, the revised 14-15 and 15-16 assessment packages were presented to pool committees for consideration. In July, we've completed the fifth and final outreach to the parties regarding the revised assessment packages DRO transfers. We then worked with several parties with a variety of issues from July through August. Once we've resolved the parties' issues, all five revised assessment packages drafts were released on August 9th. We then held a workshop on all five assessment packages on August 28th.
So just a second, Frank, thank you. So far it's been a recap on the process. Does anybody have any questions on the process that we followed this far? No surprises, nothing new?
Not a question on process, but a question on the after the August 28th workshop. Do you recall there were changes made to the assessment package after that workshop?
I don't think there was that much changes.
There are a few minor changes.
Yeah.
Right? We had a transaction that came through.
Right, that's right. So, there was a transaction between Arrowhead and the California Speedway.
Right. And then did
a name change as well.
And a name change.
From NRG to Genon.
Right. And was there had we settled? There were some questions by San Antonio Water Company. Had those been settled at that time, or are they reflected now?
Yeah, so the issue was resolved.
Before August 20?
Right, it was resolved before August.
Okay, so those are not new changes.
Right.
So just those two changes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Frank.
So the financial impact from the revisions is shown in this table. You have here the net changes from the last four assessment packages. The assessments from the 2014-15 assessment package was not affected by the court order, so it's not shown here. So you have the net changes from each of the four assessment packages along with their total. Following the net changes, you have the assessments for the salt replenishment obligation. That is based on the current replenishment rate and the residual desalt replenishment obligation after all transfers have been made. The column next to that is the sum of the net changes in the assessments on desalt replenishment. And the last column indicates whether the party will be invoiced or refunded the amount shown. The impact on storage is shown in this set of tables. You have here, this shows the storage account ending balances from each of the five revised assessment packages and how the balances changes from year to year. The net change from the originally approved assessment packages is shown at the bottom of each table. So at the end of the revision process, you have a net decrease in the storage account balance of approximately 100,000 acre feet. So as mentioned before, we had a workshop on August 28th. For those who weren't able to attend the workshop, I'll be going over some of the questions that was addressed at the workshop. So the first question was, has the decision been made whether the invoices for the revisions will be distributed separately or with the annual assessment package process in November? The answer is, once the Water Master approved the revised assessment packages on September 26, the invoices will be immediately sent to the parties and the payments will be due within 30 days. On the original summary page, are you using the assessment fee summary page to calculate the net change? The original summary page is referring to the net change table here. So the net changes are obtained by calculating the differences between the originally approved assessment packages and the revised assessment packages. Next question, what is RTS? RTS is readiness to serve a charge that is assessed by IEOA for water purchased beginning in fiscal year 2016-17 for every year for 10 years based on a 10-year rolling average 2 years after the initial delivery. This fee is collected during the annual assessment package process. Next question. Do parties with preemptive replenishment agreement still need to submit a DRO transfer form? It's not necessary, but we would still like the parties to submit one because it's nice to have for clarity and for record keeping. Next question. Are we using one or three decimal places to track volumes of water? The assessment packages will display water to one decimal place. However, in the background, the database will continue to use three decimal places in its calculation. Next question, why does the overlying non-ag pool special assessment towards desalt replenishment obligation begin in production year 2016-17? Pursuant to the Piece 2 agreement, the overlying non-ag pool special assessment goes to seven appropriators for the first 10 years following the agreement. In the 11th year and thereafter, the overlying non-ag pool special assessment goes toward the total desalt replenishment obligation. Can Watermaster facilitate transfers within the appropriate pool for replenishment obligation purposes? The answer, water transaction processes are in place to occur throughout the year to offset any anticipated overproduction. At the end of the fiscal year and during the assessment package process, Watermaster is only interested in fulfilling remaining replenishment obligations with wet water and not stored water. Next question, what was changed in the water transaction activity page? This question was in response to a statement I made at the workshop in regards to a change that was made since the release of the draft. So the change was several references to a page number in the transaction notes. They were referring to an old page number before we restructured the water, the assessment package. The next question, is the 85-15 rule chronologically applied to water transactions? Answer, yes, it is chronologically applied. Based on the date of the water transaction activity, it was deemed to be the fairest way for the purpose of the 85-15 rule because the amount of water and the cost for each transaction varies. A follow-up question, how is the limit to the 85-15 rule determined for water transactions? The answer, the 85-15 rule only applies to the exact amount that has been overproduced by the buyer. Pursuant to the appropriate pool's direction, on November 2nd, 2011. So that was some of the questions that was addressed at the workshop. So the next steps following today's meetings, the five revised assessment packages will be presented to the advisory committee and the Watermaster Board for approval. Once approved by the board, the invoices will be sent out to the parties. The payments will be due within 30 days. Once all the payments have been received, refunds will be issued to all those that are due. And finally, the 2019-20 assessment package process has already begun. Water activity reports, as well as the 2019-20 desalt replenishment obligation materials were sent out. Water activity reports and the DRO transfer forms were due to Watermaster on September 6th. And per the usual schedule, the workshop for the 1920 assessment package will be held sometime in October. And the 1920 assessment package will then be presented to the pools, advisory, and board in November for approval. That concludes the presentation. Anyone has a question?
I have a question. Back on the financial page, the financial changes, Does that primarily stem from changes to transactions are 8515, or what all goes into the financial changes?
So this changes, the court order, the effects of the court order affected the assessments for the water transactions because the water rights has changed. And I'm coming up with a blank here.
Well, I think I can comment on that. I believe that with the reprioritization of the ag land use conversions occurring ahead of early transfer, that those agencies that would stand to receive ag land use conversions are likely paying an increased assessment corresponding to those conversions.
Yeah, okay.
I have a question also, Frank. It pertains to one of the questions that you went through and provided an answer for. The determination by Water Master to satisfy replenishment obligations with wet water as opposed to using a paper transfer of water already in storage. Was that a determination? I understand the good reasons for why that might be the proper course of action, but was there a board action or an action by the advisory committee advising that that should be the course?
I don't believe so. It was a technical recommendation by Water Master's engineer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments on the assessment packages before us? If not, I'd like to say that, you know, for those of us who review the assessment packages, we know how involved it is, and I'm just really grateful what a wonderful job Water Master stuff does. They do a super-duper job putting assessment packages together. So on behalf of staff, Peter, please be in receipt of a compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Frank does a wonderful job.
Yeah. Do you want to say something?
JCSD will move for approval.
Okay. Montevista will second then. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Next item, Mr. Kubinas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is an item that typically follows anything related to assessments. We bring to the pools a resolution that is intended to be adopted by the board to give a Water Master staff the authority to actually levy the assessments. In this particular case, the resolution is intended to levy the assessments according to the summary page. It doesn't describe dollars per acre foot. It simply describes dollar amounts according to the table, which would be assessed, I believe, on seven appropriators. And there's no action required by the pool committees. However, we're interested and be happy to receive any advice the pool committees would have to offer.
Okay, excellent. This is a time to offer advice and feedback to Water Master on this topic. Okay, if there isn't, we shall move to item C.
All right. Thank you. Item C is an item for discussion on Rules and Regulations 2019 update. We distributed a staff report on this a couple of days ago. It took a little while to compile the latest clean and redline version in response to comments that we've received both verbally and in writing. Those have been presented to the pool committees in the staff report. And what we're asking the pool committees for, we understand that there's still comments in writing to be submitted by some appropriative pool members. And so we're presenting what is, as we know it now, the latest version of the clean and red line version of the rules and regulations that would be presented to advisory committee for consideration in October, not next week in September, but in October. And as a reminder, the process that we're on is to bring to current the rules and regulations that were adopted in 2001 to reflect the latest court orders. That concludes my report. At this point in time, we're looking for any further comments or discussion by the pool.
Mr. Crosley?
With the storage management plan work that's underway, when that work is completed, that would seem to suggest that there's another opportunity for further revision of the rules. And I believe there was perhaps a little bit of confusion with this last exercise of rules revisions as to how comprehensive the review might intend to be, whether it was just to address the most recent court orders or whether it was a more comprehensive look back. So when we get to that point in the near future when the storage management plan is ready to be tucked into the rules, is there an opinion regarding whether or not those further revisions will be just related to the storage management plan, or will there be a more comprehensive review, or is that to be determined?
So we anticipate that there will be a need for further revisions to the rules and regulations, not only as a result of the storage management plan, but also as a result of a possible implementation agreement for an implementation plan of the OBMP update. As we move forward in the future beyond next year, there might be additional court orders that may require future rule and regulation revisions. As you might recall, and we try to include some of that in the staff report, the rules and regs that are in effect today were written in 2001 by a collaborative of the parties and Water Master working together in a rather intensive process. That process, as you'll find it described, it was over a year-long process with the meat of the work being done in a time frame that went from October through February, October 2000 through February 2001. With weekly meetings to get the rules and regs revised. And those rules and regs in 2001 revised the rules and regs that had been in effect for the last 20 years before that. So that is definitely what we would classify as a major rewrite and revision. So in light of scope that would be involved in doing such a massive rewrite, we recognize that there were comments that were made by more than one party that perhaps a broader revise at this time would be warranted. However, we also feel that we now have orders that change the way we do business, and we do think that the targeted narrow revisions that we've started a couple of years ago and we've talked about and budgeted and performed really up until this point will add value to the process if we do them now, because imagine somebody new coming into the basin and getting now a rules and regs document that is completely silent to the April 2017 order or the March 2019 order, and then really from our perspective that puts them at a significant disadvantage. So we do think that the narrow update now is appropriate and should move forward. We do see the need for future upgrades. And in fact, as I mentioned, we've not only seen that in written comments by parties, we've seen it, we've heard it in verbal comments by parties. We've also had a request by the agricultural pool to consider a regular revision in the future. The nature and extent of future revisions, it really is up to the parties. We're more than happy to come back and give you an estimate of our time and effort that would be involved so it can be included. And so if that's of interest to the parties, we would be happy to consider doing that through the budget process in the spring of 2020 to be included in the 2021 budget. And we can, it would be helpful if we can work together with all the parties to estimate a level of commitment from the parties. Is this something we're going to try to do within a year's time? Is this something we're going to spread over 2 years' time? And what's associated with that? Because it's not something that Water Master can set a schedule for. It's something that requires interaction with the parties. We know it's sensitive. And just looking at the narrow scope of revisions that we proposed and the fact that it took months for parties to get us their comments, it's reasonable to expect that if we talk about a complete revision, start from scratch, do every, you know, cross every T, dot every I, we're looking at a process that's going to be very extensive. So a long roundabout way to, maybe I can shorten that answer to say, yes, we'd certainly entertain a massive revision. It would be something that we'd want strong collaboration with the parties to be able to assess the level of effort and budget and move forward with it. And we would be very comfortable with a regular revision moving forward, regardless of whether we do a massive revision or not.
So, Peter, I know you've read our comments, but in response to that, before we undertake looking at a schedule and a process and a budget for revising the rules and regs again, I'd like to see us have a focused discussion on really what is the purpose of the rules and regulations and how can we make this document into the most effective that it can be.
We definitely saw that comment in your letter, and we'll be happy to participate in that discussion. We do think that the rules and regs are a pretty explicit requirement in the judgment. We do think that the original rules and regs and the ones revised in 2001 had a clearly understood purpose. We don't think that purpose has changed, but we're more than happy to discuss it with the parties.
And what would you say that clearly understood purpose was?
I would describe it as a user's manual.
Okay.
A user's manual that interprets the judgment in practical procedural terms, and it also folds into it in practical procedural terms any agreements that the parties may reach that the court orders Watermaster to implement or any other court orders, and it provides a comprehensive one-stop how-to guide without having any new authority in and of itself. And it's pretty clear, I believe it's clearly written in the rules and regs, that it's sort of the lowest level document, and agreements among the parties and court orders and the judgment all have priority over the rules and regs. So it's purely an interpretive, intended to be helpful guide.
Monta Vista Water echoes the suggestion of Ontario to have a focused discussion. Any thoughts at this time as far as when that focused discussion might happen and or when there could be a response possibly to Ontario's letter?
We didn't see the Ontario letter as any different than other letters that we received, so we were not planning on providing a specific response. We have incorporated specific comments on the effort that the parties have undertaken for the last 2 years. So some of those comments have been directly incorporated in the red line and clean version that you see today. You know the workload as well as we do. Our focus right now is... our focus right now is on the OBMP update and the storage management plan. Those efforts, we believe, are significant in terms of long-term management of the basin. We believe they also have a sense of urgency, and the timing for those is now. And so that's consuming pretty much our full attention, both from staff as well as the legal counsel as well as engineering consultants. That's one of the advantages that we see in the if you want to call it a surgical strike, the revisions that have been proposed and worked on since 2017, is that it gets that amendment done and behind us with the least amount of effort. It updates the document that's here with the least amount of effort and puts us back into having a good, viable document. Is it perfect? Obviously not. Anything can be improved, so we're on board with that. So I personally don't see that would have the time and attention, nor would we expect the parties to have time and attention to have a workshop on what is the purpose or a definition of useful definition of rules and regulations until after we're finished. And so our suggested approach to the parties would be that we budget for an effort like that and begin an effort like that in 2020-21 fiscal year.
In addition to supporting the suggested focused discussion, Monta Vista, other piece of feedback we'd like to provide is to consider deferring even doing this neural update until that focused discussion occurs. That is our further feedback. Any other feedback questions from the pool?
Yeah, sure. I'd like to give some comments as the new person at the table, I guess one of the new people at the table. I think I'm one of those ones that would appreciate and really look towards any document that's helpful and trying to catch up to speed on the different things that have gone on, and especially knowing that we've got a document that is out of date. I mean, if we haven't even touched it since 2001, I'm imagining that every time the topic comes up, we don't want to deal with it because we know it's going to take effort and work to get through that. So I found it was my first week on the job. I think when the request, I started on the 3rd of June, and the week before is when the request was made for comments to come in. My second week on the job, I was able to get together with our legal counsel and staff to try to figure out what was, you know, what were our comments on it. And we did put a letter together, and we gave that to Watermaster on their first date that they requested. And I thought that the process that we went through with Watermaster legal counsel and with Peter was helpful for us. And we do feel that the comments and questions that we had were answered. And it was an iterative process, and it took a little while, but we got to a point where I think our questions have been answered and have been incorporated appropriately. I do recognize that this is a tough thing, that, and I think once we get it on a more routine schedule, it will be less of an issue. I like the idea of perhaps looking and seeing if there's a way to revamp it in such a way that provides better value for everyone, as Katie's indicated, and just making sure that when we set the right time forward to do that in the future, but not try to rush that as much. So my thought is that since we have something that's so old, we need to move forward, and I'm personally interested in getting this moved on and having something that reflects where we are right now based on the recent orders. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Any additional?
I had a comment as well. The Chino Hills, more or less echoing what Chris had mentioned, the last thing I'd want to have happen after all of the work of the six-pack and all the time that's gone on in this settlement of the safe yield reset and the early transfers and all that went on with that is to somehow down the road, if we don't clean up the rules and regs, have somebody come back after it, somebody come back and challenge some inconsistency that isn't in line with what, you know, the court ordered and what we all agree to. So I really don't have a problem with moving it forward and getting this this initial tune-up done, because it seems like we're 99% there. And, you know, get that done, have it in place. And, you know, small course corrections now. But even though this was a major event that we just got through. So I'd like to see it documented, codified, whatever you want to call it, so that we're good. It's black and white, and we know what the marching orders are.
Thank you.
So as Peter pointed out, the rules and regs don't take precedence over any of the court ordered agreements, the CAMA, as they're sometimes called, or the judgment. So if there were inconsistencies, we would go back to those agreements. At the same time, I don't think we should have documents that have inconsistencies. Everything should be consistent across the board for all of our sakes. I agree with you there. I would say, though, my concern in reading the rules and regs, both in 2017, and we expressed it at that time, and then again now in 2019, is that it appears to be primarily a copy and paste of the legal documents with some commentary or narrative that may be helpful but isn't necessarily clearly defined as to what is a quotation, what is a copy and paste, and what is not. And so that's the kind of thing that I would like to clean up. I don't think that we need to copy and paste the legal agreements. If we're looking for a procedural manual, what we need to do is explain to a new person, so to speak, or even people who have been around but may not recall, how we as a Water Master group implement the judgment in the CAMA.
And I think those are the two pieces that are there. If you look at Article 2, Article 10, those are procedures that are not really anywhere else. A lot of the meat in between there is regurgitation or recasting, I guess, of what's in other places. As Peter said, though, it is all in one place, and I think there's some value in that. Regardless of what I think, the court in 2001 approved this, and this is what we have. And we do have a concern about having the court-approved document, which provides for Water Master to update it, being stale and not reflecting all of the changes that have been ordered or agreed to. We do have it posted on the website. It's I have heard folks say they come into the basin, they look at the website, they pull it off of the website, and then someone tells them, well, that doesn't have 18 years worth of updates in it. And so as we talked about in 2017, our goal at this point in time is to do that narrow sort of surgical update so that we don't have a stale document that's sitting out there. It does have pieces to it that are other than just restatements of the judgment or restatements of the piece and piece two agreements or court's orders. And so we'd like to have that updated and then continue, since we've already started the discussion about what you could call an existential evaluation of the rules and regulations. And then Van had brought up a response to Ontario's letter. If there are questions about the specific suggested changes, if you didn't see where they were made in the red line, happy to discuss those with you.
Okay. You're talking about the second half of the letter was specific comments, right, as opposed to the first half general.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you'll see a number of changes that are responsive to your comments.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you. That was a very good discussion. We appreciate the comments and the thoughts from everyone.
Good. Thank you, everyone. Okay, if we're ready to move on to the next agenda item, it would be a legal counsel report. Mr. Harima.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. Just one quick update this morning. In July, which seems like months ago now, the board approved the filing of an update status report to the court on the status of the RMPU. The OBMP update. And after taking that through the process for comments from the pool committee's advisory committee, the board directed its filing with the court. That was filed on August 6th, and the court gave us a date of December 13th for a hearing on that. That's 1:30 p.m. December 13th in front of Judge Reichert.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. If no questions or comments, Mr. Mullen, you're up next.
Good morning. I have three items. The first is the ground level monitoring committee activities. Wanted to inform everyone that we had a meeting at the end of August here at Water Master, and there were two main items on the agenda. One was the redevelopment of the of one of the piezometers at the Pomona extensometer. And so I reported to you in the past that one of the four piezometers did not develop correctly, and there was a redevelopment process at that piezometer. The results were mixed, some positive, some negative, and the conclusion is that we need to continue to collect monitoring data at that well in order to determine if it's acceptable or not as an ongoing monitoring facility. So we have a transducer in that well. We have transducers in all surrounding monitoring and production wells. The plan is to ask Pomona, the city of Pomona, to turn on and off one of their nearby wells in a controlled fashion to induce a stress into the aquifer system to check on that well. They've informed us that they can do that, but a little later in the summer when, a little later in the fall when when their demands aren't as high for that production. So we look forward to that. We're going forward with the vault installation and the completion of the wellheads. That's going to start on September 26th here later this month. And at that point in time, we will also begin the process of installing the cable extensometers and equipping the data loggers in the vaults. That will likely occur in the October-November time period. So we discussed all that, and then we previewed some of the figures that will be included in the draft annual report for the Ground Level Monitoring Committee. Anna, can you bring up the schedule for that annual report? We're going to release a draft of the annual report next Friday on September 20th, and we have the schedule on Watermaster's website. If you are planning on reviewing this annual report and attending the next meeting, it's all the information is on the website. On September 26th, later this month, we'll hold a meeting right before the board meeting here at Watermaster to review the annual report, and then you'll have a few weeks after that to review and comment on the annual report and submit comments by October 18th is when we're asking you to submit comments. We will finalize the report on October 31st and then include it in the agenda packets for approval through the November pool meetings. So that's all I had on ground level. With regard to the safe field reset, we are in the process of recalibrating the groundwater flow model, which now has a subsidence package attached to it to simulate subsidence as well as groundwater levels. And so we're in that process. We expect to be complete with the recalibration process in October. As you know, this model is going to be used in a projection mode to develop estimates of the net recharge to the basin that's expected over the next 10 years, 2020 to 2029. We will hold a colleague and peer review meeting in November to discuss the calibration and to discuss the planning scenarios that will be used to estimate net recharge. So that will probably be in the later portion of November that we'll hold that meeting, likely at our offices in Lake Forest like we did in July. We expect to have an estimate of net recharge by early 2020. And just as a reminder, it's June 30th, 2020 is when we're supposed to file a new updated safe yield with the court. And my last item is on Watermaster's efforts for PFAS monitoring. Thank you very much, Anna. This is a map. Can you go into presentation mode? Maybe get a little bit bigger. Thank you, Anna. This is a map of the Chino Basin, and all the black triangles there are monitoring wells that are being sampled this year as part of Watermaster's monitoring program. And we're collecting an additional sample and having that sample analyzed for PFAS. And this is an effort to characterize, for the first time, PFAS distribution at these wells at the low detection limits that are available these days. And so these are 18 locations, but at each of these locations, we have depth-specific monitoring wells. So we'll have a depth-specific characterization of PFAS at these locations too. We are conducting the sampling now. We should have results shortly. that we can share with you. Yes.
How did those 18 wells, how did you choose those?
They were already slated for sampling and analysis of other constituents this year. So we added on PFAS to the to the sampling program this year.
Thank you.
Do you really mean they're being sampled by Watermaster or they're being sampled by the purveyor?
These are monitoring wells, like the hydraulic control monitoring wells, Prado Basin monitoring wells. So these are monitoring
wells. They're
not
purveyor production wells then?
No. Now, the purveyors, as we understand, the state is requiring some of you to sample and analyze for PFAS this year as well. And so we will be collecting that those results as well and adding them to the database as well. So those are all the pink dots that you see on the map. Those are all monitoring wells or production wells that are active today that PFAS sampling could occur at. And we're telling you that some of those will be sampled by you and analyzed for PFAS this year. So we'll be coming back at future meetings to show you the results of this characterization.
When is the sampling event?
We're sampling right now.
You already are.
At these black wells right now. And we understand that some of you have already done your sampling and the results are in the pipe.
Are there other samples that are done in proximity to those so you wouldn't need to do those? I understand that samplings are rather expensive.
Sorry, Chris.
Have some of the purveyors been required to do the PFAS sampling adjacent to one of those triangles? If so, can you remove one of those triangles from Watermaster slate?
Most of the other sampling is occurring further to the north. We do understand that the CDA might be doing some sampling, which are just located to the north of those wells. But most of these wells are located further south where there aren't active municipal production wells.
What are the...
We can certainly... Sorry, Katie.
Oh,
just
no, go
to
ahead.
Finish up.
Yeah.
We can certainly take a look at the wells that we know will be sampled by purveyors and the wells that we're planning to sample. And if we find any that are so close together that it's clearly a duplication, we'll certainly review that with that perspective. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Good suggestion.
What other constituents are you monitoring during this effort?
Well, TDS and nitrogen, for sure. That is part of our maximum benefit commitments to monitor for those constituents for the ambient water quality, the triennial ambient water quality recalculation. In the HCMP wells, it's typically a general mineral suite that is sampled for, and in some cases where we're nearby a plume that we're attempting to characterize, that there will be VOC sampling that will occur too. But there's always a specific reason for choosing the sampling suite, and it's not the same at every well.
Mm.
So that's my report, but I'll answer any questions I can.
Where was this located? I didn't see it on. Where'd you find it, Anna? I'm sorry.
The map?
Yeah.
We'll post it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you for the engineer's report. If we're ready for the CFO report, Mr. Jozwiak is working his way up to the podium.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the appropriative pool. Frank did a very good job of providing all of the information on the assessments. He did leave me one little bit of information to provide. Assuming that the board will approve the packet on September 26th, we would be ready to issue the invoices to the seven parties. They do, as Frank had mentioned, have 30 days to pay. 30 days from September 26th would be October 26th, that's a Saturday. So the payments would be due by 5 p.m. on Monday, October 28th. And then as soon as we have all of the payments, so assuming the last payments come in on October 28th, it would take a couple days for those to go through our bank. We would start issuing payments to the other members who are due payments. if by some rare chance that the payments from the seven parties come in much earlier, we would issue payments to the other members again as soon as payments have cleared our bank. We will issue payments.
Thank you for that report.
Thank you.
Next, GM's report.
Was there a question about Joe's report?
I'm just wondering if we can discuss the possibility of maybe having a credit on our next year's assessment rather than receiving a payment. We can talk offline about it.
Actually, that was discussed. During the revised assessment package workshops. From Watermaster's bookkeeping perspective, we have a very strong preference to do the true-up, issue the invoices, collect and close the books, issue refunds, just close the books on the entire revised assessment process. And we realize it means a second, in your case, wire transfer, but it's cleaner for us to do that, finish it all up in October, and then get into the November-December assessment package for next year. And I know some organizations, you guys are a very large organization. You have probably a different accounts payable department. It means I'm very sympathetic to that. But we hope you understand that we have so many parties to deal with, and this revised assessment package process is something we are trying to keep separate in and of itself, kind of a discrete effort, including the money in collection. Mm. We're trying not to let it bleed over. Mm. Now, I'll say this, it sounds like heresy, but does Ontario owe money in this case?
I thought we were doing.
So you were due a refund. So if you get a check from Watermaster, you could just hold on to it and deposit it later.
It's just very complicated when we get refunds for previous years.
I understand.
Very complicated.
Well, if you'd like to donate to the entire pool,
nope.
We're
good.
It's just an option there you might want to consider.
Thanks, Peter, for addressing that question.
All right. Under GM report, item one, water activity reports, as everybody here knows, Watermaster, in order to do to fulfill our obligations to track the amount of water produced, we issue water activity reports at the end of each fiscal year, and we ask for each party to verify the amounts noted in the water activity reports. Those have been issued for the last production year, and those were due back by September 6th. We still have a couple that are outstanding. From the appropriative pool and the non-ag pool. We know everybody's diligently working on it. Please continue to do so. From our end, we have our own version of public shaming, so we have a board in the other room that shows who's turned in their water activity report, and by default, those that don't get a sticker are the ones that are delinquent. We do appreciate everyone's cooperation on that, timely cooperation on that, because that leads into the development of the next assessment package. And for us to be able to deliver that on time, we need the information verified and approved on time. Item two is a status report on the OBMP update. I would like to ask the two workhorses on this effort, Edgar and Andy, to give just a very brief recap of the effort for those that did not attend our listening session yesterday.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning. So I wanted to bring to the pool's attention the summary for both listening session 5 and 6. And the reason why I brought the two listening sessions is because we didn't have meetings in August. So just so we are all on the same page. All right. So listening session 5 happened July 31st here at the Watermaster offices. And the primary focus of the discussion during listening session 5 was to review the first part of the scoping report that was released and to discuss the first 4 activities that were included in this first release of the scoping report. Those were activity A, construct new and improved existing recharge facilities, B, develop and implement and optimize storage and recovery programs, D, maximize the use of recycled water, and E and F, which is a merged activity that talks about implementing water quality management and strategic compliance. So after listening session five, we continue to receive written comments on this first release. And then for listening session six, that happened yesterday, you probably already know this by heart, but I'm still going to remind you. We had a recap on the process for the update, and we also discussed the last of the four activities in the second release of the scoping report. We talked about activity L, which is monitoring, activity K, soil nutrient management compliance and dilution compliance, C and G, which is regional conveyance and treatment facilities, and HIJ related to equitably distributing benefits and cost of the OBMP update. In terms of process, and I want to spend a little bit of time, this is how what has happened so far from listening session one and listening session six. I don't want to spend too much time in this slide, but this is the content of all the listening sessions that we've had so far. We discussed about process, and we went over the 2000 OBMP creation and the documents that came out of it. So the main document that we talked about in the first part of the development of the OBMP was the OBMP Phase 1 report that had four sections: introduction, the first state of the basin, the goals, and the management plan. Chapter 4, the management plan, was used to develop an OBMP implementation plan with 9 program elements. And this OBMP implementation plan was used to negotiate the peace agreement. One thing to note in this diagram is, even though it looks as a linear process from the implementation plan to the peace agreement, there's a feedback loop between these two. Once the peace agreement was developed, it went to the court, and the implementation plan went for environmental review, and the environmental review conclusions were adopted by IUA. The 2020 OBMP update has so far developed a scoping report where activities have been proposed by the parties and later scoped and estimated in time and costs. And what we're going to do next is we're going to harmonize the program elements in the original 2000 OBMP implementation plan with the proposed activities in the scoping report. And that will yield to the development of the 2020 OBMP update report. That in structure is very similar to the Phase 1 report. It has an introduction, it has goals. It will show the mapping of the 2000 program elements and the 2020 OBMP proposed activities. And Chapter 4 will be a management plan that will be used to develop an implementation plan. And later, again, as an iterative process, will be used to develop an implementation agreement that will go to court. The implementation plan will go for environmental review and later will be adopted. So just to be abundantly clear, Phase 1 report and 2020 OBMP update report, documents that are very similar in nature and in function. OBMP implementation plan and 2020 OBMP implementation plan, a separate document that will be very similar in function to the original implementation plan. And the implementation agreement and the peace agreement will be also be similar in function to what the peace agreement is. Then I'm going to pass the microphone to Andy to explain these summary sheets that we created for every single activity that was proposed, that includes tasks and outcomes, sure. Water Master role, and everything. So, Andy?
Thanks, Edgar. going back to this slide here, this scoping report includes a description of all the OBMP activities and their comprehensive descriptions. Each activity, a number of the parties, I'd say several of the parties, so showed interest in conducting these activities during all of our listening sessions. We listened to you, and each one of these activities, several of you showed interest. And these are comprehensive descriptions in that scoping report. They talk about the activity, its objectives, the need and function for the activity, then a detailed description of the scope of work and all its subtasks, and estimates, cost estimates, and schedules for implementing these activities. But they're long descriptions. And so what we ended up doing is developing these one-page summaries of each one of these descriptions. And I believe we have copies of all on the back on the back table of these one-pagers, which describe the activity itself up at the top. And in this case, we're looking at Activity A, which is to construct new facilities and improve existing facilities to increase the capacity to store and recharge storm and supplemental waters, particularly in areas of the basin that will promote the long-term balance of recharge and discharge. So that's that'll be the description of the activity. And then here is a summary, a little one-paragraph summary of the need and objectives of each activity. And then this table down here describes the tasks, the scope of work, and all the subtasks, the outcomes that we expect from each of these subtasks, what Water Master's role is, and then a description of whether or not the work is necessary to implement the physical solution of the judgment or any of your other obligations pursuant to your agreements or CEQA or court orders. So, and then a schedule is shown at the very bottom of these one-pagers, and it's showing you year one, year two, year three, and then in the color-coded bars are these tasks, the duration of these tasks, with a red box at any location where there might be an off-ramp where the parties might decide, we've explored this activity long enough, and the information that we have in front of us indicates that we no longer want to pursue this activity, and we're going to stop at that point in time. So that's how these summary descriptions are structured here, and we think you found them useful yesterday. It's if you want to really dive in deep to any one of these activities, though, and understand them fully and completely, it's the scoping document that you want to read.
I did find these one-pagers very useful. The only thought I had was, do these one-pagers, does this spreadsheet perhaps have a hidden column to show the budget for each item? Because I think you develop budgets for a number of these items. I was wondering, is there a column to show the budget for the items?
It's not hidden. It's just not there yet.
Oh, it's not there. Okay.
In the scoping report, it's all there.
Okay.
So we could easily
refer
add
to
the
second document then.
We could easily add it as to the estimated budget for each one of these tasks.
I can refer to the second document.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay.
It might be nice to have it on the one pager because I think this is great the way it shows the tasks and the schedule and. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the missing piece. And I know you've showed us to that before, so yeah. I know it's out there.
Yeah, it's there. It wouldn't be that much to revise these, include the budget.
Thank you.
So it seems like if you can do that, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy. So in terms of next steps, we're going to finalize the scoping report. So we will keep continuing to receive written comments, oral comments, any type of comments on the first and the second part of the scoping report. until September 25th, after which we will just finalize the document. And we are going to schedule a listening session 7 in October, where we're going to discuss how the program elements in the original OBMP and the new 2020 proposed activities harmonize, and an outline for the update report. In terms of schedule, we had listening session 6 yesterday, so we're here. And this is how the rest of the process looks like. You also received last month a document that looks like this. This is the 2020 OBMP progress report. This is a document that is intended to show at a glance what is the OBMP and what happened in the last month. So you received the one for the month of July last month. And yesterday, you should have received an email with the digital version of the August progress report. And it's also available in the back table for anyone that wants to get it. This is a document intended to audiences that are not here for the listening sessions, that are not very involved in the process, but need to understand what's going on and what are the next steps. If you want more copies or a resend of the digital version, you can ask me, and I will be very glad to send it to you. Any questions?
I have a question, Edgar. So I attended the listening session yesterday. It was very helpful. Thank you to everyone involved in making the presentation. This slide... it describes finalization of agreements March of 2020. And if you go back a couple of slides to that Activity A summary, at the bottom of this page, we have three designated go, no-go opportunities spanning years 1, 2, and 3. Now, we spent, I think, a fair amount of time yesterday discussing what may seem to be a bit of a disconnect between a decision point to move forward with something as compared to when the court might order the parties to proceed according to an agreement. Can you comment on that? Explain for those who were not at the listening session yesterday how that's going to be reconciled.
Yes. One of the comments that were made yesterday about the implementation agreements was about agreements that have a safeguard in terms of parties can agree to implement an activity or a project if certain conditions are met. So at this point, we haven't developed a draft implementation agreement or an implementation plan. So... I can't comment on the specifics of how those things will be included, but those are definitely possibilities. And I think, Peter, do you want to add?
Yeah, so let me add a little bit. And Dave, thanks for the question. You know, questions like that aimed to clarify are always very, very helpful. And maybe Activity A is one of those activities that was suggested with every good intention from parties. But as if you've read Activity A, you can see it's something that's there is an already ongoing RMPU process that effectively accomplishes the same thing. So whether the activity like this actually makes it an implementation plan or not, set that aside for a moment, and let's just believe that this activity, whatever it is, gets on the implementation plan. If there's an implementation agreement to move forward, then we begin year one with a task that's shown there. And what you see is decision points on that timeline are off ramps where that activity could end and come to an end. That's how we envision this moving forward. Does that help?
I actually have a follow-up. So if I understood it right, when we actually do the implementation plan, what I think one part of the concern is if you take an implementation plan to the court, then you know it really comes down to is that it forcing us to have to move a certain way. And what I understood was that as part of that implementation plan, it would be very clear about this process and that there'll be off ramps in the future if we so define.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a plan to implement these steps, and if some of these steps lead you to a conclusion that the activity is finished, then it's finished. If you get to the final step and then you say, well, now we have specific projects that we want to build, well, then you move to that decision and discussion at that point in time. Well, thank you, Edgar. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to go back one step in our agenda. And I'd like to invite Joe back to the podium. I'd like to go back to the point raised by Ontario about getting a refund credit as opposed to a refund check. I'd like to explore that a little bit and not let it linger. Joe, from an auditor's perspective, what would we have to have if we were to go down that path, if a party wanted a credit as opposed to a check?
From an audit perspective, I would believe the auditors would require that we have some documentation, so I'm thinking a letter. So if Katie or anyone else wanted to issue a letter that clearly stated that instead of taking a payment, you would prefer to have that as a credit, as an offset to the upcoming invoicing, I believe the auditors would be fine with that. So instead of having a check to verify a payment that went out, we could have a letter that says, well, you've requested to have that instead of that payment to issue a credit. And so that from an audit perspective would be good documentation.
And so from a process point of view, we have until September 28th to collect all money before we issue any refunds. So if any party that was...
October 28th.
I apologize, I misspoke. So if a party that is due a refund were to send you a letter by October 28th saying, please don't issue us a refund check, we will take it in the form of a credit, and we intend to use that credit, or please apply that credit in our next assessment package.
That would be an option. My preference would be to have the date maybe October 15th or October 20th.
Okay.
So that there wouldn't be any possibility of a check getting issued in lieu of credit. So
okay.
Maybe October 20th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but So before we would normally issue those, so maybe 23rd?
Yeah. So the 28th is a Monday, as you know. So if we had a letter from anyone that is due a refund saying that they prefer a credit and they intend to use the credit for their next assessment package, if we had that a week before by the 21st?
I think that would be more than adequate.
All right. So why don't we change course and do that for anybody that wants to have a credit instead of a refund?
And all the interest you want.
So,
what that money?
Of course.
Yeah, so it certainly is a little bit more of an accounting adjustment, but it's we could certainly put that on the balance sheet and have it.
And it's all within the same fiscal year, so you don't have any issues. So, what do you, Mr. Chairman, what do you think is the best way to communicate that to all the pool members that are due a refund? So that everybody should know it. In case they're not here today,
we'd be open to all stakeholders, not just our pool. Would you communicate to all stakeholders?
It's really mostly your pool that's affected.
We are the ones who pay.
Yeah.
The most, yeah. That's great.
So maybe what we do is why don't we summarize this in an email, and we'll send the email to those that are due a refund. And we'll go from there.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course.
Would it be easy enough to send it to the whole pool?
So sure. We'll send it to the pool, of course.
One addition, go ahead and include that table.
Yes. Thank you. Good suggestion.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That's a good step backwards, by the way.
Good step backwards.
Okay. Item three on my report is a status report on storage management plan. Very brief update on that. I wanted to bring to everyone's attention that we have distributed a draft 2020 storage management plan. We sent it on Friday, last Friday, September 6th. We sent a document that includes all the attachments. So we apologize. We had to send a second email. We are very sensitive to how much email we burden you with because we know you have plenty. But that is out. And as you've seen, that storage management plan has a couple of blank sections that are to be filled by input from the parties. Refresher on our timing, we have asked that if you please review the draft that we provided and give us comments on that by October 1st, as well as a proposal for the blank sections by October 1st. And a reminder that although the appropriative pool has the greatest interest in storage, this is a request that goes out to all parties and all pools. We're looking for input from all parties and all pools on the blank sections on the storage management plan by October 1. Our plan is to then incorporate comments and input and distribute again on October 11, so about a week and a half after we get your input, and then look to come together with everyone at a workshop on Thursday, October 17. We haven't picked a time for that yet, but if you can please note that on your calendar, as soon as we pick a time, we'll send that out. We realize this is complicated, so Anna, if I can ask you to please pull out the schedule that's on our website for the storage management process. You will see that after the October 17th date, we've also identified another time in November to get together again as a group and discuss, which is time for individual parties and pools to get together, discuss within themselves and with the other pools as to what how they would like to see the plan move forward. And then you can see the remainder of the process laid out in our plan there.
I'm hoping it's okay for me to represent this on behalf of the pool. On the storage management plan, I think our pool's been working long and hard on the storage management plan, providing input to one another and hopefully develop a collective collective input ultimately will provide to Water Master. We've had, I think, at least three long, grueling meetings. I think we continue to meet. October 1st, however, is only 19 days away. I'm not so optimistic we'll hit October 1st, but I think it's fair to represent we'll continue to work hard towards providing a collective plan on behalf of our pool to you as soon as we can.
We appreciate that. We know it's a lot of hard work, and that's why we notified everyone at Water Master. Was it a month or two ago when we did the workshop that this is the input that we're looking for? We realized we hadn't set a due date at that time. Just like the overall OBMP update, we do see a point in closing it. One of my favorite quotes is a Clint Eastwood quote that says, "Nothing focuses the mind like a hanging." Having a time to end the process maybe accelerates a little bit the drumbeat and gets everybody to focus. And finish. And finishing timely is important. So thank you. And believe me, I do appreciate it. I know there's a lot of diverse opinions in your pool, and I appreciate everyone's time to meet and discuss.
You're not proposing to put that in the rules and regulations, are you?
If it helps. There's always a question of who's hanging. So, any other questions on the storage management plan? All right. What has been a standing update on Eli 3 Basin status? This is hopefully going to be the last update on Eli 3 Basin status. A claim was made to the Conservation District by Kaiser. The claim has been rejected. A superficial crack that had been at the basin has been investigated by the Conservation District and remediated. IUA has performed the regular maintenance to the Eli 3 Basin, and the basin is ready to receive water. So we're back in business. So unless anything changes, this is my last report on the issues that we've had. Any questions? Finally, a couple of things under other. I want to bring to the group's attention an email that Joshua Aguilar sent from IUA. It was sent to a large distribution list. I think many people in this room are in that list, but just in case, the subject is Prop 1 Stormwater Grant Program Round 2, and in it, Joshua is telling everyone that IUA received notice regarding a grant opportunity. It looks like the application deadline is late 2019. The minimum grant award is $250,000. The maximum grant award is $10 million. And there's a total of about $90 million available. It's a 50% match. And eligible projects, the description reads, to be eligible for funding, the proposed project must be a multi-benefit stormwater management program project. Projects may include but are not limited to green infrastructure, rainwater and stormwater capture projects, and stormwater treatment facilities. The project must be included in an adopted IRWIMP, included in a stormwater resource plan, respond to climate change, and contribute to regional water security. So I just thought I'd pass that along. It's yet another reminder that there is money, and there is more and more money that is going to be available. Thought you'd like to know. And if there's something that the pool would like to use Watermaster as a place to discuss, we're more than happy to host. Couple more things. We had our annual Chino Basin Day. This is a meeting that we have with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. This is a meeting between IUA, Watermaster, the CDA, and Regional Board. Is something that we've had great help from Chris Birch when he was IUA. He was instrumental in conceiving and setting this up. We found great value, and more importantly, the Regional Board has found great value in doing that. So we have, as a matter of course, we have the Executive Officer of the Regional Board attend, along with her Assistant Executive Officer, and any and every staff that they care to bring, whether it's management or whether it's compliance. And it's a great opportunity for them. We just run through with them everything that's happening in Chino Basin and all the efforts that all the parties are making, all the data collection, the reporting, any and all studies. And they are very grateful to have that opportunity as a daily, you know, one-day focused training, which brings all their staff up to speed at the same place and time. They expressed appreciation for the State of the Basin report. They find great value in that, as well as the annual water quality plume reports. They really liked the water quality colloquium and expressed appreciation for the collective having hosted that. And they really appreciate the PFAS data collection effort. They understand that we've budgeted to do some, as Andy presented, and that we're coordinating that with the data collection that the parties are doing. One note from that meeting to share back with the pool is that they are concerned about PFAS. It's clearly on the radar. It's such a large blip on the radar. It's probably eclipsing everything else. And their quote was, we're looking forward to work together with you, learn together with you, and determine the best approach together with you. So we're really fortunate to have a very cooperative regional board. Very, very appreciative of their mindset. So that's my report on that item. I'll take any questions.
Any questions over general manager?
And my last item is on the ongoing effort with the Habitat Conservation Plan, the HCP. We did reach what I thought was a very good milestone. Is we've had some concerns about the groundwater model that is intended to be used in the HCP. It's a groundwater model that has been developed by Geoscience. We've had concerns about how that would be used in Chino Basin, and specifically about water quality issues, TDS, nitrate in Chino Basin. And we reached an agreement with San Bernardino Valley Muni and everyone that's involved in HCP that the Geoscience groundwater model will not be used for any water quality modeling or projections in Chino Basin. So that was a lot of good work by IUA and its supporting consultants. Okay. It was a good outcome. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions at all for Peter this morning? If not, please take notice of the cash disbursements in our packet. Are there any pool member comments at this time? Okay. If not, let's take a recess till 10:30 before we commence our confidential session. Thank you. That much stamina compared to the rest of us. The time is 12:08. We are back in open session. The pool took no reportable action. Next on our agenda are future meetings at Watermaster. Peter, any comments on those items?
No, I believe we have a pretty regular calendar looking ahead. We owe you a time for an October workshop for a storage management plan. We're trying to find a way to make best use of everybody's time, and as soon as we have that, we'll let you know.
Peter, if you don't mind, I'd like to reiterate that October 1st deadline for comments and input from our pool on the storage management plan does not look so optimistic, but we are working hard towards providing
that.
Comments
right.
To Watermaster staff. So with that, if there's nothing else, we adjourn. Thank you, everybody.